계시나 아래 계시나 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 아래 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 라마 아래 라마 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 아래 아래 계시나 아래 계시나 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 아래 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 라마 아래 라마 아마 라마 아래 Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, sing, sing. A little bit more heart, please.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
I go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.
So the we're speaking about the verses of Shikshastakam. Specifically for the purpose of applying them to our japa. And Shikshastakam, these verses, are the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they take us from the very beginning stages of chanting, of bhakti, to the topmost levels. The very topmost levels. So the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness is contained in these eight shlokas, verses of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That first verse, Chaito Dharpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam Shreya Karayava Chandrika Vataranam Vidyavaro Jivanam. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipatam punam tam sadhanam savatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam means that the chanting of Krishna's holy names will be victorious over the extremely powerful material energy. Trandite, very difficult to overcome. But the chanting of Krishna's names is the boat of Krishna's lotus feet by which we can overcome the material energy and be established in our relationship with Krishna. This verse, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, establishes faith in the heart. And there are seven wonderful benedictions described in this verse that come to the chanter of the holy name. The second verse, with its important line, all the lines of course important, but Jodhaivamidrisamihan Anujanuraga describes why we don't immediately get these results by chanting, and the answer is primarily because our chanting is full of offenses, and the methodology that causes our advancement is basically offenseless chanting. So if we chant Krishna's names offenselessly, and that's why the devotees so much emphasize attentiveness, because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that pramada, or inattentiveness, is the mother, the source of other offenses, of all other offenses. So it is offenseless chanting of Krishna's names that brings us the result. And then, in the verse that His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj spoke on yesterday, and Maharaj also, Giriraj Maharaj too, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, describe the quality of the chanting with its characteristics. The quality of chanting has to be humble chanting. Kirtaniya Sadahari. And when one is fixed, nishta, the platform of nishta, in taking shelter of Krishna's names, knowing oneself as an insignificant servant of Krishna, eternal, nityadas, jivera sarupai, Krishna nityadas, and applying to oneself the four characteristics of feeling oneself lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and giving respect to others and not requiring respect for ourselves. If one is fixed in that, in nishta, this is the quality of chanting, humbly fixed in that, taking shelter of Krishna. This is the quality of the chanting, offenseless chanting, that will bring us on the path. It fixes us on the path of prema bhakti. And this verse that we shall speak about today, the next verse, is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes as chanting on the platform of Ruchi. And this verse has its purpose in the progression of our bhakti, to fix our consciousness on our intention, on what we want. It is a vyatirek, or definition by negation, definition of what our desires should be, by describing primarily what our desires should not be as we chant. Because, and this struck me so deeply when I heard Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words on this level in Bhajan Rahasya, is that if we chant with desires for, and we'll speak about what they are here, dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavita, If we chant and the desire for liberation, if we chant with these desires, Krishna, in the form of the holy name, will fulfill those desires and withhold the desire, our deepest desire, the desire of the soul, which is to be in a loving prema bhakti relationship with Krishna. He will withhold that and award us so many other glittery items that have no substance, that are like smoke, no true substance. So it is so important, if we wish to get the actual result of chanting, to give up our self-centered, Maya-centered, selfish, bhakti-abhas desires, the reflection, the abhas of bhakti, and focus on what we actually want. So let us go over this verse in a simple way, but describe what the words mean. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Dhanam means what? Wealth. Na dhanam, I don't want wealth as the result of my life, of my existence, of my chanting, of my devotional service. No, na dhanam. Not for me in a self-centered way. We had seen, and I've actually seen this picture in Prabhupada's where he grew up on Mahatma Gandhi Road. Prabhupada once said that there's a picture of one famous Bengali so-called saint. Someone is offering him money, and he's going like this. And Prabhupada said, "You can take a picture of me. Someone is offering me money, and I'm going like this." But when Prabhupada is saying that, there is no false ego in that. It is not for me and not for my security and not for my pleasure. It is all for Krishna. But for me, nadanam, najanam, najanam, I don't want followers to flatter my false ego. And then, as His Holiness Guru Rajmaj was speaking of yesterday, it takes so much effort, mental effort, physical effort, to try to keep everyone focused on me, making me think that I'm anything other than an insignificant servant. So much energy is expended, and I don't want that. Not janam. I am a servant, an insignificant servant. Now this verse is based on the platform of Nishtha that we heard about yesterday. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he adds to janam, I don't want wife, sons, servants, subjects, friends, relatives, and followers. And it's so easy to fall into the allurement of these subtle things. And notice that dhanam is very, very tangible. It is gross. Janam, the desire for followers and people to focus their attention on me, is more subtle. And then nasundarim. Nasundarim, Prabhupada generally translated as beautiful women to be in love with me and follow me, or members of the opposite sex for women thinking, oh, I want so many men and male admirers. No, I don't want this to inflate my false sense of who I am. And Sundarim can also be combined with Kavitam, which means Kavi, Kavi, you know, means poet. Wonderful verses and poetries and subtleness, subtleness in literature. Because there is such subtle enjoyment in finely written literature with its metaphors and alliteration and poetry. People's minds, they fly and float on well-written literature. A still more subtle type of enjoyment. And I don't want it. I don't want it. To be the composer of it, or the enjoyer reader of it. I don't want something even on the material level, anything that's wonderful on the material level. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur adds to this well-written mundane literature, beautiful poetry, Vedic literatures that offer wonderful fruit of results. It does not refer to beautiful descriptions of Krishna's pastimes. It does not refer to beautiful descriptions of Krishna's pastimes that we want. And then, Mama Janmani Janmalishvare describes that birth after birth, what I do want, so included in the concept of I want something birth after birth, the subtlest desire, the desire for liberation, freedom from this crushing material situation, time, kalosmin lokachaya krit, that crushes everything, including my body, my beloved family members, my achievements, all crushed into fine powder and dust. Everything I'm attached to, crushed into dust by time, and let me get free from that. Liberation. I'm tired of this suffering. Kapila Muni in the third canto of the Bhagavatam describes this as the result of devotional service mixed with the mode of goodness. But these type of devotional services, where I want dhanam janam sundarim kavitam and liberation, these mixtures in there will not bring me to the platform of prem. Prema, pumarto, mahan. And this is the most cherished jewel-like desire that we must protect if we want to move forward in our devotional service. So then to the positive, what do I want? O Lord, Ishwari, bhavadtad unto you, bhakti. I want to please you. Ahetuki means causeless. Savai pung san, parodamo, yatir bhakti rahochije, ahetuki apatiyatam. This is what it takes to satisfy me, the soul. Me, the soul who serves Krishna. Causeless devotional service. Causeless devotional service means devotional service that anya bilasita sunyam jnana kama anavrita anukulena Krishna anushinam bhakti uttamam. And Srila Jiva Goswami Bhakti Sandarbha describes our devotional service has to be on this level, not mixed. And that is the abhideya tattva. This is the process that will bring us to prema bhakti. It needs to be on this level. So nadanam, there's a mental mind controlling technique that I once heard, that when you have desires that are in your mind that you don't want, to be there, or thoughts. As loud as you can in your mind, you call out, "No!" Like this. "No, Dhanam." In your mind, though, otherwise it gets noisy. They may be there, but I don't want to cultivate them. And where we place our attention, that grows. I don't want that. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Va, Jagadisha, Kamani, Mama Janamani, even birth after birth, I wish to serve unmotivatedly. This, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the platform of Ruchi. Obviously, one needs to be getting such a high taste in one's relationship with Krishna to say no to these things. One needs to be getting this taste. Now, by the verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur places in Bhajan Rahasya, it would be nice to go over the verses. They're so sweet. But because we wish to hear, very much wish to hear the other esteemed devotees speak on this verse also. We won't say the verses, but I will describe four characteristics based on verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts in Bhajan Rahasya in relationship to this verse that tell the results of chanting on this level. And then after we do that, we will hear something very wonderful on a very practical level that's practically applied to our chanting. But here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Ruchi causes one to have unlimited desire to hear and chant about Krishna. This is what I want. Taste. I want to hear about Krishna because as Abhinatam Namanamano, Krishna is his name. Krishna is also his kata. Second characteristic. What's the first one? No, what's the first characteristic that we just said? Unlimited desires. Hear and chant. Not, "Oh, how many rounds do I have left now?" No. How much more can I chant? We saw that Prabhupada was like this. You couldn't stop him. You couldn't stop him. Second characteristics. All false identification with the body as oneself is destroyed. What a relief. All false identification of the body as oneself is destroyed. The body being the source of all pleasure for a materialistic person, the body and mind. No. Who am I? I'm not this. I'm Krishna's eternally servant. Third, now listen to this one, talking about a relief that Ruchi causes. All obstacles are destroyed. All obstacles to moving forward are destroyed. You've climbed up the mountain and now it is going downhill. All obstacles to your advancement are destroyed. Of course, because you have a taste, you want it. You want Krishna's service. More and more. And then the fourth characteristic, which none of you will have any difficulty in remembering, is that Krishna steals one's heart. Now, what would that be like? Krishna does this to the residents of Vrindavan all the time. And he won't give it back. And that's what we want. Those four characteristics. When one is on that platform of Ruchi, there is a prayer of one of Lord Brahma's prayers that tells the mood of that, of one on that platform. And you don't care about anything on the material level. He says, Lord Brahma, this is the one who is most intelligent in all of the universe. He's praying. And notice how the platform of nishtha and the platform of faith and the platform of freedom from offenses and the platform of humility are included in this greatest person. Brahma means greatest. And the greatest person is praying in this way. I pray to be so fortunate that in this life as Lord Brahma or in any other life, in other words, being the biggest, greatest person is not fortune, but whenever I can have this, wherever I take my birth, Janmani Janmani Shvare, I may be counted as just one of your devotees. Not the greatest devotee, but just one of your devotees, any one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even if I take my birth in the animal species or as an insect, I can engage in the devotional service to your lotus feet. Just imagine how much taste he is getting to honestly, sincerely be praying like that. Just imagine how fixed and humble he is being confronted with Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan and their devotional service. And Srila Sanatana Goswami comments on this to say that he describes that I want to be just a devotee, any kind of a devotee. Yenaham eko pi brajet jananam bhutva, in his words. And Sanatana Goswami says, quite amazingly, that it means that I want to serve those men and, of course, just anyone who's a devotee. I want to serve those men who are now engaged in your devotional service, even the new devotees. Sanatana Goswami says this. Even the new devotees, the lotus feet, even of them. Trinadapi sunichena torodapi sisnina. I don't want. This is what I do want. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur adds that this is true in either practice, sadhana, or perfection, this mood. Now, Ruchi is so wonderful. Something that one day, maybe, perhaps, somehow or another, many lives away. Now, what do I do now? And how does this verse apply to my chanting now? And because if one chants in this way, the path of Ruchi, in the way that I would like to mention now, is also the methodology. It is the way to attain Ruchi. Based on humility, based on faith, based on offenseless chanting, I sit down and fixedly chant. And then what happens? I'm not on the platform of Ruchi, and so many desires come to my mind when I'm chanting or performing my devotional service. So many desires come to my mind for dhanam, janam, sundarim kavitam, for liberation. I wish it would all end. okay, it's enough pressure, enough suffering, I'm ready to merge into Brahman or something like that. All these desires may come to my mind. Even as I'm chanting, so many thoughts come into my mind. And at that time, I have to become very humble. Humility increases at that time. And my need for shelter and Krishna's mercy increases at that time, because I'm not on this level. And if I can say no to these desires and understand that they don't have the capacity to satisfy me, and they are just the bluff of the material energy, they don't have substance, and they are based on unlimited pride that I can be the enjoyer, they are based on enmity with Krishna. No, I don't want these things. I need your help, Krishna, because I have them so deeply planted in my consciousness. Oh, Krishna, oh, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Unless you are merciful to me, what hope do I have? Borrowing a phrase of His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj, an address, I will say, my dear devotees, if we chant sincerely in this mood, Krishna will rain taste down on us to soothe our hearts. It is only a matter of sincerity and placing that humble, fixed sincerity coating our chanting with this humble, fixed sincerity and knowing that it is Krishna's mercy alone that can help us. And He's there in the form of the holy names. And we coat our chanting with that mood, like a baby crying for mother, as Prabhupada said. And then Krishna's mercy, as He so desires, will be there. And that is the path of attaining Ruchi, using the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse. Okay, I'll stop now. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I want to thank Bhurijan Prabhu very much for this necessary presentation, this well-prepared presentation, and this well-intentioned presentation. I think as Bhurijan Prabhu spoke and put urgency to his words, we all felt how Bhurijan Prabhu knows that we need taste in spiritual life. And he wanted to bring us and encourage us to come to this level. I'm sorry, I'm only half with you. Half of my brain is in remembering a page number. Yeah, now I'm completely with you. I must tell you very frankly that in my mind, the transition between aruchi, japa, or kirtan, and ruchi, japa, or ruchi kirtan is the most important subject matter at this moment. I really feel that if I do not get out of the land of no taste and enter the domain of devotional practices with taste, I am lost. I will be like a cloud which is rent asunder by the storms of material life, and I will be ashamed to the devotees at the end of my life. I think it is so important what Burijan Prabhu has revealed today, that I would like to contribute to Burijan Prabhu's presentation by asking a sincere question. Where can we find taste? Prahlad Maharaj describes the ordinary conditioned soul as being battered by so many attachments. The tongue, the genital, all the senses are constantly pulling at him, like a man who comes home and is married to different wives who all want to pull him into their room for chess playing, eatings, I don't know what else. You know, they all have a plan. So our perverted tastes, our, let us call them as they are, attachments to material life, are also constantly pulling us away from this path of devotional service. Where is help? Will it be just enough for me to piously chant Nadhanam Najanam? I don't want wealth, and in my heart I know, I want wealth. Najanam, followers, well, I would love to be recognized, but I will pray this verse anyways. And Sundarim, I better not speak about it in public. You know, will this suffice? Will this be enough? Will it be enough to dress ourselves in the pretentious clothes of an idealist? How long will this cloth remain on you? How long do you think you can pretend your way above this, having actually no taste, and even worse, having attachments to material world? In spiritual life, there are four motivating forces. Two of them are used by the Christians a lot and by the Hare Krishnas also. One is fear. If you don't do this, you will go to hell. The second motivating force in religious life is hope. If you do this, you will go to paradise. And the third motivating force, this is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Shikshamrita, is Kartavya Buddhi. It means you do things out of a sense of duty. I promised this. I made this mistake, this good-hearted mistake at my initiation to promise four rules and regulations. Now I have this duty to perform, but my mind wants other things. Kartavya Buddhi. How long do you think you can do things out of fear or hope or just doing it out of duty when you have no taste? My dear devotees, not for the rest of your life. That is the statistical truth of the Hare Krishna movement, that we have lost many, many good souls over the stretch of 40 years back to their material attachments. You need the fourth motivating factor in your life, raga, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, or for the sake of this discussion, a superior attachment or taste. Where do you get this? Where do you lose your material tastes, your embarrassing attachments, which, believe me, I'm now 50, almost scratching at the border of 60, I have attachments you would be surprised to know. They come up when the mind is no longer so powerful as in young age, where you can do a lot of force by duty-minded devotion. I have come to the state of my life where I honestly admit, if I'm not graced by ruchi, I see only a compromised spiritual life before me. Yes, a dark, sad story. Again, I put the question even more urgently before you. Where do you think you will get this ruchi? Where is the birthplace of ruchi? Where will this taste come? The scriptures run to our aid with a verse which is both practical, pragmatic, and which shows by experience that it works. It's a verse you all well know, you know, those who have Brahminical initiations and have to show their proficiency in verses. You can chant them with me. This verse, Satang prasangan mama viya samvido bhavanti hritka narasayana kata. Tached yoshanad ashvapavarga vatmani shradharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. The Lord says, my heroic pastimes are very pleasing to the ear and satisfying to the heart when they are heard in the association of pure devotees. As a result of joyfully relishing these pastimes in such association, one quickly advances on the path of liberation, passing through the stages of faith first. You get faith when you hear from devotees. Then you get rati, a relationship of your or a revelation of your divine relationship with Krishna, and finally prema bhakti, true love for Krishna. Taste, in other words, starts with faith. Wow, I believe this. This works. It then enters into a more developed state that is some feeling of a relationship, and then finally true love. This happens in the association of devotees. An example is given for our understanding. The example is that of Mother Ganga, who comes with a tremendous force rushing from the high peaks of the Himalayas through the five prayags down to the foothills of the Himalayas. Everything which is in the way of Mother Ganga is wiped clean and is filled with something. When you put a clay pot there, which is covered with stool, Hare Krishna, Mother Ganga will come, this is the example, and go into the clay pot. It will make a gargling sound. I can hear it. And then the Mother Ganga will wash out the undesirable substance and fill that same clay pot with the desirable substance, pure Ganga drinking water. This is an example given for the efficiency of association with good devotees, devotees who have this pure motivation to go to Krishna. When you are in their association, you will first feel that by their Harikatha or Krishna Katha, you will feel some purification of the heart. Prabhupada once talked about this, that when you meet the spiritual master, he spoke about himself, the first duty of the spiritual master is to crush your false ego. Hari Bol. That's unpleasant. the attachments based on our wrong conception are sometimes challenged. So therefore, in the association of first-class devotees, we sometimes get what we used to say in Germany, the club or the sauce or the bitter neem leaves. Forceful intrusion into our not yet ideal inner concepts come. Our ego may get attacked. And we will react in the uncontrollable tendency to fall asleep and switch off, and so on. But if we can maintain the treatment of hearing Krishna Katha from pure devotees, then this dirt will come out. I remember. I'm a little bit, sometimes you may not believe it, but when I have an audience of 30,000 people, this sometimes happens, I'm a little bit afraid. So the people will protest. So today, one week ago, I heard a tape of Srila Prabhupada where he said, when people protest, we will simply smile at them. Because we know we have an order from Krishna to preach this. And I don't know, when I just heard this, how Prabhupada spoke, it made such an impression in my heart that I thought, well, I can become a fearless preacher also, no problem. Once, I heard a tape of Prabhupada where he said, "What do you do for eternity?" He seemed to jump out of the tape recorder, stand before me with a finger like this, asking, "What do you, not everyone else, you do for eternity?" Or he said, at other times he said, "One slip may cost you millions of lifetimes." Or I remember another impactful sentence from Srila Prabhupada is, Krishna with his smile can dry out the ocean of tears for the conditioned souls. Think of the smile of the Lord. No? So pure devotees have this impactful speech that it's like Ganga water coming into our mind, which may be still filled with undesirable thoughts, and then it may purify that mind. It purifies the mind, and as a convenient result, our mind becomes filled with pure information, with pure Ganga water. My dear devotees, the therapy for tastelessness in devotional service is a two-thronged process. The first throng is the association of pure devotees. The second throng is to hear from them Krishna Katha. This is the process where you get taste. When Prithu Maharaj stood before Krishna, Vishnu actually, Vishnu asked him for a blessing. You can ask any blessing you wish. So Prithu Maharaj said, "Oh Lord, I would actually never ask you for anything. But I will ask you to grant me this boon, that I be giving unlimited ears with which I may hear such nectar as it pours from the hearts and mouths of great souls." The Lord asked, why do you want unlimited ears? Is two sets of ears not sufficient? Maybe you can have an extra spare ear, you know, like a spare tire, but millions of ears? Why? Yeah, Prithu says, "I want the therapy in full blossom. You have unlimited devotees, therefore, and they speak, and when they speak, they share from their heart And it is this which I want to capture from your unlimited devotees. And for this, I need unlimited sets of ears, not just one spare ear. That won't do. So, my dear devotees, there is less time and an overwhelming evidence in our Bhagavatam Shastras. When you see the great devotees asking for boons, they always want to be where devotees are and hear from them about Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj prays like this. It is a common blessing asked for, because this is the way. This is the way. This is the way to get taste. And only when you obtain taste in your spiritual life will you be transported from this acting out of fear, if I don't do this, I will be killed, or out of hope, let me do this. Maybe one day the impossible paradisical dream will fall from the heavens on me. Or you will go out of this katavya. I must do this dutifully. I'm a duty-bound man. How long can you do duty? You must act according to a taste, and that is to be found here in the Ganga riverbed of the Devotees Association, and the Ganga current, the Ganga water of their first-class Krishna Katha. You may now say, Sachidananda Swami, you have totally frustrated us. See, after looking at ISKCON for so many years, I have stopped to believe that there is a pure association available. I've just stopped to believe it. I'm sorry, don't feed me your belief. This may be an objection. I'm addressing it because sometimes my dark mind comes up with this question: where do I find this pure association? This question is not a question which is forbidden. It's not a question which we cannot look at. I believe that any pure motivated devotee falls in the category who can give me taste, but I don't want to give you my belief if you happen to be a total skeptic. When you have problems in placing your belief in a devotee, thinking he is not pure, I have seen him. I'm not willing to be deceived any longer. Go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagadananda Pandit has said this. Don't voice the skeptic voice in an offensive way. It may be your problem. As I really feel, after studying Krishna conscious philosophy, that a pure motivated devotee, he can just wipe out my heart like a Ganga current, and taste can come. I have my experience. But if you have problems, Gauranga Mahaprabhu has appeared as the first class sadhu and the supreme personality of Godhead. And study his leela, study his instructions as they are given, and you will see some taste. Mahaprabhu's leela has this infectious nature of giving taste if you're willing to dive into it. Another thing which our ISKCON is well known to say is, if you look for the pure devotee, we have Prabhupada available, and he has spoken sufficiently, and if you listen to his lectures, you will find how his atom bomb-like sentences explode also in some remote corner of your psychology and wipe away the misconceptions and give taste. You will see. But be careful. When you go to pure devotees, the ego sometimes revolts. Your hesitancy, your skepticism may be a very natural reaction of your supernaturally strong ego. It may be that you are right on course, in other words. It is seen. Don't think that in Prabhupada's time his disciples didn't show an ego against Prabhupada. They also revolted. We also didn't always do what he says. We also went into our corner and did our internal dialogue with his statements and saw what would win, and often Maya would win. And so on, this dialogue will always happen as long as you have a false ego. Good. I want to conclude with a summary. Taste, the beautiful queen of taste, who will show you how to move in the realm of bhakti, can be found in the association of devotees, good, pure, motivated devotees who are talking about Krishna properly, and that will do something in your heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have heard two powerful, heartfelt, and brilliant discussions of the verse and the stage of Ruchi. We heard from Burijan Prabhu that when we engage in the process of chanting and hearing, in the effort to chant and hear without offense, we are confronted by desires for wealth, followers, beautiful poetry and knowledge and so many other things that we do not in principle want. And we have to say no, no, no to these things, to these desires. We discussed yesterday in the small group on the roof how when we first come to the association of devotees, we seem to be free from other desires. We really just want nothing but Krishna and Krishna's service and Krishna consciousness. And then later, desires resurface. Why? How does that happen? And what do we do about it? I was telling Burijan Prabhu the other day how, as a university student, I was on a spiritual quest to find a guru. And I met many, but none of them satisfied me. And I had come to the stage where I had almost given up hope, because I'd been to so many and I was just not satisfied with any of them. And finally, when I had practically given up hope, I saw a poster on my university campus, lecture on Bhagavad Gita as it is, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. But I was so discouraged by then, I already had other plans for the evening. But in the end, I did go to the program, and then the next day I went to the temple, and I asked Srila Prabhupada the question that had been burning within my heart, which was, there are so many different swamis and yogis, and each one is advocating a different process of self-realization. And each one says that his is best. So how do I know which is actually the best? And Srila Prabhupada replied most intelligently with a question. What is your goal? Do you want to serve God, or do you want to become God? That's a very intelligent question, because I'm asking what's the best means. But the question is, what end do you want to achieve? You'll choose the means that is suitable to the end. And then Srila Prabhupada said, if you are not God, if you want to become God, it means that you are not God now. And how can not God become God? He said, God is always God. He doesn't have to become God by yoga or meditation. And he said, Krishna is God when he's playing on the lap of Yashoda. He's God when he's speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He's always God. And then he said that if you take the seed of service to God and water it by chanting, God will provide the water and sunlight and all the conditions favorable for making your service grow. But if you want to become God, why should God help the competition? He said, God is within you. He's in your heart. He's there to help you. And you can become godly, but you cannot become God. And if you want to become God, you're only cheating yourself. Now, at that time, I had an apartment off campus. And I had the feeling that Srila Prabhupada was looking straight into me, straight through me, through the walls of the temple down the roads to Waltham, Massachusetts, into my apartment, into my bathroom, where on the wall I had written in my own ornate handwriting, "You are God." I had to remind myself in case I forgot. And Srila Prabhupada, I just felt he was seeing that sign. He was seeing that sign on my wall, and he knew everything. And finally, after such a long search, traveling here and there and meeting so many swamis and yogis and Zen masters and philosophers, I felt I had found my perfect master. Then he said, "So, what do you think? Do you want to become God or do you want to serve God?" So by then I understood. And I said, "I want to serve God." But I knew I couldn't cheat Srila Prabhupada. I knew he already knew. So I want to serve God. But actually, I realized I wanted to become God. He said, "Yes." So I bowed my head onto the floor in surrender. But it wasn't just surrender. I felt that I had been exposed in the assembly of devotees, that my abominable desire to become God had been exposed. And I imagined that if I got up too quickly, they would all be looking at me and glaring at me. "Oh, he wanted to become God. He wanted to become God." So I waited, and there's some distribution of prasad. They brought a big plate to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "I am not God. I cannot eat all of this." Distribute. So I could hear the sounds that prasad was being distributed.
Were you bowing down all this time?
Yeah. There was a light mood in the temple. Everyone seemed very happy. Then I felt it's safe. I can come up. And then when I did, I looked around very sheepishly, and I saw everyone was smiling. They weren't glaring at me like I expected. So I was happy, and that was, I had come to the right place and the right conclusion by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And those first days, of course, when Srila Prabhupada was there for 2 weeks, those days were extraordinary. But even after he left Boston, those days were extraordinary. And to me, all the devotees seemed like pure devotees, and all the activities were so relishable and extraordinary. And then, somewhere along the line, some months or years or decades later, I realized that it wasn't so simple. When I began the effort to chant attentively, when I began reading different things and attending japa retreats, I found that my mind is preoccupied with different thoughts. And when I analyzed those thoughts, I came to the conclusion that the underlying premise is that I'm God, that I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the proprietor. I'm the body, yes, that's, but within that false identification, the idea that I'm the enjoyer and controller and proprietor. So what Srila Prabhupada seemed to have disposed of in 20 minutes, and which I seemed to have resolved within 20 minutes, seemed to have a deeper level to it that has to be addressed. And what happens, it's true of me, but I think it's true in a general sense as well, that my godbrother, His Holiness Shivaram Swami, has analyzed this quite elaborately, actually with reference to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that we receive the seed of pure devotional service. It's really the seed of pure devotional service. But unless we keep very close association with pure devotees, or in other words, if we associate too much with mixed devotees and not enough with pure devotees, we can mix desires with the pure desire to serve Krishna only for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. And thus we can become weak. This verse, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim, it sort of parallels, and Burijan Prabhu quoted it, the basic definition of pure devotional service in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You know, Anya Bilasita Sunyam, without any other desire. That's Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. And Bhavatad Bhakti Rahaitu Kitvai, that's Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. That's pure devotional service. So the remedy for, these other processes, yes, Anya Vilasita Sunya, Jnana Karma Anavratam. So Jnana and Karma and all other processes are weak compared to bhakti. And if you add any of those processes to bhakti, the mixture is weaker than pure bhakti. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking in Boston and he saw a sign painted on the wall of a building, unalloyed steel. And Srila Prabhupada said, they are advertising unalloyed steel and we are advertising unalloyed devotional service. And he said that an alloy could be like another metal inferior to steel that's added to it, so it becomes an alloy. And that may not be as strong as unalloyed steel, so they're advertising unalloyed steel. So these, they go together, this desire for wealth that can go with karma and so many things. The desire for liberation go with jnana. And thus we become weak. We become weak in our devotional service. We don't have the same enthusiasm. We don't have the same taste that we had in the beginning. So what to do? And His Holiness Shivaram Swami, and again, much of what he says is based on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says the solution is to associate with pure devotees. By associating with pure devotees, hearing the pure messages of Godhead from pure devotees and serving them, that original seed that became weakened by associating with mixed devotees and or karmis and gyanis and yogis and whatnot, we can come back to our original position and be cultivating pure devotional service. So this is something that we really have to seek. His Holiness Satchinandan Swami raised the issue, where do we find such pure devotees in ISKCON? And that is a very, that is a question that may come to mind. And I can relate a personal incident in my own life, because I had served under some very prominent and powerful leaders in the movement who had eventually left, one after the other. And after one of them left, not the first, I resolved within my heart, I am never going to put my faith in anyone else except Srila Prabhupada. This is like a firm resolution. And I was sort of stationed in Mauritius and South Africa, which were really out of the way. And because of the fall downs of these prominent leaders, devotees all over the world were just struggling to sort of hold on to what was there and consolidate what was there. No one was ready to come to Mauritius or South Africa. They were too busy in their own places. So somehow I managed to get a week or two to go to the United States. And there I met, I went to Dallas and I met my old friend Tamal Krishna Goswami. I didn't bring up any topic. I just said that, you know, I felt I needed more association and it was hard to get it in Mauritius and South Africa. And he said, well, you have to go out of your way to get it. But then he sort of brought the discussion to a deeper level. And he said that with all of my association with Srila Prabhupada, and he had more personal association than any of us, practically more than anyone. And with my three initiations from him, means first, second, and sannyas, I still do not feel that my relationship with Srila Prabhupada alone is enough to sustain me and impel me further in my spiritual life. I also feel the need for shiksha gurus in my life. And then he named a list of some of his godbrothers whom he considered to be his shiksha gurus. One was His Holiness Shivaram Swami, one was His Grace Burijan Prabhu. And there were a number, I don't remember all the names. And I was listening to him, but within my heart I was thinking, you know, I can't place my faith in anyone else again. But I just can't. Then the next morning, it was a very intense japa in the temple room. Everyone was there. It was the era when everyone went to Mangalarti and chanted their rounds in the temple and attended the class. So it was a very intense mood. Everyone was chanting very intense japa. And at a certain stage, I was sort of like walking around the temple, chanting. Tamal Krishna Goswami was walking a little behind me. And it just dawned on me that actually what he said is true. You know, I'm hoping or pretending that my relationship with Srila Prabhupada alone is enough, but actually it's not. What he said is true. And it occurred to me that he was meant to be a Shiksha Guru to me. And gradually that list increased. Now I'm sitting between two of the most prominent ones. And we need that support. We need that support. And you know, I think not everyone, but some people contemplate, you know, looking elsewhere. But my own conviction, and I've had the same discussion with many God brothers, is that we want to be, well, this is also Rupa Goswami's definition. Swajati Asheye Snigde Sadhu Sangha Swatovare, one of the five most potent forms of devotional service is Sadhu Sangha. And Rupa Goswami gives the definition. Swajatiya means swajati, sort of in the same community, or like-minded. You'd say like-minded. Swajati ashe, have the same desires. Snigde, that word can be interpreted in not interpreted in different ways, but applied in different ways according to how you combine the Sanskrit words. But it can mean someone who is affectionate to you. That's very important. Of course, all advanced devotees are affectionate in a general sense. I mean, but you want to have someone with whom you have that affectionate relationship. And Svatovare, who is more advanced, is a critical factor, who is more advanced than you are. Now, I discussed this point, or maybe I should say, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami discussed this point with me many years ago at Radhakund. It might have been his first year, one of his first years, but he had undertaken a very severe namvrat, if that's the right word. And he hardly had any time to meet and talk, but he was kind, and he did find some time to meet me. And he discussed this idea. And he said that externally it may not look like one of us is more advanced than another, because we're all born around the same time. We're all, I mean, a lot of us are from America or Europe, and we didn't learn Sanskrit or Bengali, and so from a certain point of view, we're all more or less the same. We're not like born in India, you know, learned scholars in Sanskrit and Bengali and so on. But internally, I can think that, as Satchinandan Swami said in our discussion, he said, internally, Giriraj Swami may be thinking, oh, Satchinandan Swami, he's more advanced than I am. I can learn from him. And then he said, I, Satchinandan Swami, I can also think, oh, Giriraj Swami, he's more advanced than I am. I can learn from him. Of course, that part's not true. The first part was true and is true. And so he was saying that if we have that mood, that internal mood of seeing our contemporaries as more advanced, as devotees that we can learn from and benefit from by staying in their association and serving them, then that condition of Swatovare can be fulfilled within ISKCON, even among devotees who appear to be peers. And that has been valuable advice. It's something that I've kept in mind. That's part of the reason I'm here, sitting between these two superior Vaishnavas and Shikshagurus. So I think that from that association, as both of our speakers have said, from that association we can hear the quality of Krishna Katha that will purify the heart and give us taste, which is really what we need. And just maybe to add one last point on that, on the question of devotees leaving. How is it that a devotee can leave after so many years? This was when Tamal Krishna Goswami visited me in Carpinteria. And the first thing he said was that we need to have taste. We need to derive pleasure from the spiritual practices of Krishna consciousness. And then the other thing he said is that we need to have loving relationships with God brothers or God sisters. And he related that to sadhu sangha. We need sadhu sangha. But I think that's basically what we've been hearing here, that we need to develop taste. The sooner the better. And we need to stay in the association of like-minded devotees, in the association of pure devotees, who will strengthen our tendency for pure devotional service and will cut away our false attachments, material attachments, mistaken tendencies to engage in other activities, you know, karma, jnana, yoga. I mean, those could be translated into terms that we're familiar with in our day-to-day lives, but I hope you all can understand how those terms relate to different activities that we add to bhakti, add to pure devotional service, thinking that we'll get something by adding them that we won't get just by pure devotional service. So I pray to always stay in the association of pure devotees and to realize through their association the full value of what Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Hare Krishna.
This was our breakfast. I feel fairly nourished.
So tasty.